Which is smarter, a Republican or a Democrat?
You pay your money and you take your choice in the battle of the century tonight on
People Are Funny.
Yes, NBC presents John Goodell's production of People Are Funny, transcribed from Hollywood. And now here's America's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter.
We hope you're going to enjoy this informal next half hour because we try to test out the theory that people are funny. And I mean all of us. Nobody escapes that in one form or another, especially married people. And we find that of all the different kinds of stunts we do on this show in the past 15, 16 years, that when we do a stunt about married people, we get the most appreciative response from our coast-to-coast audience. Now, one of the theories about married people that has been put forth by scientists is that the longer people live together happily, the more they tend to think alike and even look alike. And so, with this theory in mind, we have selected out of the audience a married couple who have been married for 20 years. And let's meet them now and bring them in. They don't know what's going to happen, and they haven't even heard this explanation so far. They know nothing about the stunt. Here they come. Evidently, they left. Had them hidden so deep down in the basement that they can't find them. Oh, hello. How do you do? Would you come over to this side on my left? Mr. Stevenson, it is, isn't it?
That's right.
What's your first name?
Harold.
Harold Stevenson and Mrs.?
Mary.
Now, when you volunteered tonight, the only thing I ask that you know about so far is that you've been married for...
20 years.
Uh-huh. What's your line of business?
I'm a portrait painter.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Stevenson, several questions we'd like to find out tonight about married couples in general. You've been married happily for 20 years.
Happily, yes, 20 years, off and on. Not every day, but we're happy.
Do you think as people grow older together, they get to be more alike?
More understanding and alike, I think so.
Do you think they think alike?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Would you say in the third phase of my questioning here that married couples have a more difficult time in the first five, the second five, or the third 5 years of getting together?
The third five.
What would you say?
The first five.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. You have a little difference of opinion there. Mr. and Ms. Stevenson, what the real purpose of selecting you out of the audience tonight for was to find out what the average American couple married for 15, 18, 20 years likes best in the way of songs and music and food and places to travel. For instance, what sort of a restaurant would you choose if you went out for a, kind of a different dinner? Would you go to a French restaurant, Mexican restaurant, or a Chinese restaurant? Now, I don't want you to answer that now, because backstage I have a number of cards with various subjects and three choices of each subject. And you'll go to separate rooms and you'll write on each of the cards the one choice of the three that you yourself would make. You'll be given the cards backstage. Now, of course, ladies and gentlemen, this you already know. They are going to be tested as to whether or not they think alike. When they come back from these separate rooms, they'll have seven choices to make. If five of the seven choices are the same, they will get $1,000 in cash. Five of the seven. Now, we're going to test this theory and have a little fun. We'll find out at the end of the show.
Every year more people buy RCA Victor than any other TV.
Enjoy the convenience of RCA's remote TV control. The magic brain does everything.
Turn set on, change channels, adjust picture, volume, fine tuning, right from your easy chair.
Every year more people buy RCA Victor than any other TV.
You can get RCA's magic brain for most RCA Victor VHF models.
Like the big change table models, gorgeous lowboys, and full door consoles.
See the magic brain at your RCA Victor dealers.
Every year more people buy RCA Victor than any
Ladies and gentlemen, these posters, Bryan and McKinley for president, may be a little out of date these days, but betting on the outcome of elections between Republicans and Democrats certainly is not. And everybody all over the world who knows anything about America must certainly admit that political campaigns and political parties certainly fit well into the title of our show, People Are Funny. And to prove it, we've invited a pair of traditional rivals to the show tonight. Two young men, neither of whom know the other one is here. We have had them hidden in separate rooms backstage so that neither one knows about the other one. Right now, let's talk to the Republican. Mr. Heffern, would you come out, please? How do you do? Your name is Chuck Heffern, isn't it?
That's right, Art.
And Mr. Heffern, what is your position in the Republican Party?
Well, I'm president of the Santa Monica Young Republican Club.
And, of course, you are a wholehearted, 100%
Republican.
That's right. Where do you work, Mr. Heffern?
Well, I work at the Rand Corporation in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm. Do you go out and make speeches for the Republicans?
No, not very many. Just one or two.
Uh-huh. Now, what happened to you tonight since you arrived backstage at People Are Funny?
Well, I've sat downstairs in a dungeon.
In our beautifully appointed dressing room under the stage. I'll correct that. And what were you given to do?
Well, I had a little test. I believe there are 8 or 9 questions on the test. Current events.
Well, I hope you did well, because, Mr. Heffern, tonight, you are competing with a Democrat to see which one of you is up on current events and knows the most about the world. Now, you haven't seen him backstage, have you?
No.
You don't know, have any idea who it is?
No, I don't.
Well, do you know the name Lang?
Yes, I do.
Where do you know it from?
He's at, he has an office right across the street from me. Right across the aisle.
Right across the hall, right in your own place.
That's right.
Did you know he was a Democrat?
No, I didn't think he was.
I know you didn't, because he told us you'd invited him to a young Republican party. Would you bring out Mr. Lang now, and we'll let him talk for himself. Here he comes. Come around here, Mr. Lang. Stand next to your buddy. Shake hands with Mr. Heffern. What's your party? What's your job?
Well, I'm president of the Santa Monica Canyon Democratic Club.
Well, I think it's kind of cute. We got these two fellows who work together, but didn't know. You don't discuss politics much at the office, do you?
No, he just tries to get me to go to his meetings.
And you don't try to get him to go to yours?
Not as yet.
All right, now, you had the same experience in a separate room that Mr. Heffern had, Mr. Lang. You took a test?
Yes.
What we want to do is to know whether you're interested in a bet. Mr. Lang and Mr. Heffern, this is the bet. That whoever wins or loses in this individually taken test will devise a penalty that the other one must agree to abide by. Will you agree to this?
I'm willing. I even have a
penalty
in mind.
I'll go along with that.
All right. Now, Mr. McGeehan, would you give me the slip paper? Here it is. The winner, with a high score of 78 out of a possible 100, is the Democrat. Now, congratulations. Now, wait a minute. Now, Mr. Lang, is it? Mr. Lang?
Yes.
I have here, just to help you, a list of a half a dozen of the various penalties that we have given on People Are Funny over the last 10 or 12 years, just to get you in the mood. You can also think up your own. Would you please go backstage and figure out any penalty you want for the Republican? You got that?
Right.
You just leave now, Mr. Heffern, was it?
Yes, that's right.
Tell us about how you first met this man. Did you know him? He's gone.
Thank goodness.
Actually, you two fellas are friends at business. He seemed very joyful about going backstage to think up a thing for you.
Well, I'm not surprised at that.
Be murder, wouldn't it, when he comes out with really something. I guess it must be because he's a Democrat, basically, and you're a Republican.
That's right.
Yeah, because after all,
I'm awfully sorry. We made a terrible mistake.
What's that?
We've just added the scores again, and the Democrat didn't win after all. The winner's the Republican.
The winner is the Republican. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a mistake. How do you suppose this could have happened? How do you suppose this could have happened? As a matter of fact, what actually happened was that in retallying the scores, this terrible mistake has been revealed, and our Democrat, Mr. Lang, is backstage figuring out a big penalty for the loser, and he's the loser. So I tell you what we'll do. We'll give him the penalty he figures out for you. How does that sound?
That'd be fine. That was.
Spoken like a true Republican at this point. Now, you're actually looking quite eager, and I can understand you. And Pat,
yeah.
What we'll do to frame this thing, we'll wait and let Mr. Lang commit himself and tell us the whole penalty, and after that, you rush out and re-announce the mistake.
Okay.
All right, so we don't tip anything off, huh? I wonder if this Democrat will really be big about this thing, because he doesn't know a thing about it. Get him out, boys.
He was a friend of mine.
He was a friend of yours?
He was a friend of mine.
I think he's still basically... we were talking about you, Mr. Lang. Basically, you are still a friend of his, aren't you?
I believe so.
You don't act like it. What looked good to you? What kind of a penalty did you think about?
Well, I kind of have a penalty of my own picked out.
Yeah, what was your idea of a penalty for the losing Republican?
Well, I would like to see him go to Independence, Missouri, walk up to Truman and say, "I've seen the errors of my ways. Sorry. I'm very sorry." And if possible, I'd like to see his picture in the paper doing this.
A Republican saying that Truman was right after all.
Yes.
That's very good. I think that's an excellent stunt. Now, you will do this, won't you? We'll pay your way back. We'll pay...
I'm awfully sorry. Look, we've made a terrible mistake. We've added the scores again. And Mr. Democrat doesn't win after all. The winner's Mr. Republican.
Well, now, wait a minute. What do you know about that? Mr. Lang... We don't have time to send you back out and think of anything, so I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just reverse the whole thing. And you'll have to go to Eisenhower and tell him he's okay and the Democrats are all wrong. Is that all right?
It's perfectly all right.
How do you like that? Well, I tell you, we'll send you there. And we'll arrange for you to get a message to President Eisenhower on behalf of the young Democrats of what?
Couldn't we delete the publicity?
No, sir. It's got to be a picture of you sending that wire under the heading of the young Democrats of Santa Monica.
Well...
And I hope this has taught all of us a terrible lesson. Don't be overconfident. Fellas, you're both good sports to come up and show that in both parties there are good men willing to do their best. And we have for each of you a great big beautiful prize, a stereo realist camera and a viewer that will give you pictures in three dimension of our next presidential winner, whoever he is. Thank you, Republicans. Thank you, Democrats.
Thank you.
I'm coming down the audience now to look for somebody who would like to be rich. Let's see somebody who'd like to get rich. Wow-wee. You'd like to be rich?
Why, sure.
Who are you?
Robert Farnham.
What do you do, Mr. Farnham?
Policeman.
Oh, you're not rich already?
Oh, I'm a poor man.
Where are you from?
New York City, Long Island.
Is this your wife?
No.
Oh, who are you?
I'm Mrs. Klosterman from Tampa, Florida.
And you'd like to be rich?
I sure would.
You aren't rich?
No.
What do you do?
I'm rich in family, but not in money. I'm a housewife.
How many do you have in your family?
We have 3 children and 4 grandchildren.
Come with me, Mrs. Klosterman. I'm going to give this nice gray-haired lady a chance to be rich. We'll come right up on stage and find out what happens. Well, here we are. Mrs. Klosterman is from, did you say where?
Tampa, Florida.
A Florida gal. And what does your husband do, Mrs. Klosterman?
He's a Seaboard Airline railway conductor.
And he's away from home a lot.
Yes, he is.
Where does he travel between?
Well, different places. Tampa, St. Petersburg, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Right now, he's running to Boca Grande, you know, where they have all those fish.
Yeah, and I bet you get free passes on the railroad, don't you?
Oh, yes. We're out here on free passes to visit our daughter at Manhattan Beach.
Good for you. Have you ever won anything in any contest?
No.
Have you entered contests?
No.
You've never thought of entering?
No, because I didn't think I'd ever be this lucky.
Never?
It was close to you.
Oh, Mrs. Klosterman. You may win some money tonight, and if you were to suddenly get comparatively rich overnight, what would it mean to you? What would you do with it?
I might retire to California.
Did you hear that? A lady from Florida says she'd retire to California. There is the greatest blow that has been struck for the Chamber of Commerce in 50 years of Indian fighting. Mrs. Klosterman, I'm going to have a man wheel a wheelbarrow right up here into the front of the stage. And I'm going to have him, you can hear it clink as it comes, can't you? And I'm going to have him remove the cloth from the top of this golden wheelbarrow. And what do you see?
Money.
Money.
Money. Is it real?
That is real money, ma'am.
Can I touch it?
Sure you can touch it. How's it feel?
It didn't stick.
None of it stuck. Well, maybe $10,000 worth of it will stick to you tonight, Mrs. Klosterman.
Now, you're joking.
No, I'm not. Have you ever thought of getting $10,000 in cash?
No.
Well, this is your chance tonight. Somebody who came all the way to California on a free pass and has never won anything in her life, and she's about 53.
Honest?
Honest. Injun. All right. This is the way we play the game. If you'll just turn sideways and look back here, you will see that there are a number of letters on movable bases. Now, these letters conceal figures behind them. For instance, one of these letters has a 1 behind it, and all the other letters have zeros behind them. Now, we're going to ask you to rearrange these letters to make an English word. And if you get the right word, then the right letter will be here. And if the 1 is here and the 4 zeros are there, you get $10,000. If the word you make lets the 1 be behind the letter that's here, you get $1,000 or $100 or $10 or $1. You understand, Mrs. Klosterman?
I don't know. I hope so.
All right, you make a word. You make any kind of an English word you want. Just switch these around in any manner that you desire. And there are 5 words, at the least, which can be made out of these 5 letters. And $10,000 in cash is riding on your guess, on your good judgment, and on your ability. All right, Mrs. Klosterman, start rearranging. Can you get a word out of that? There are 5 of them. There are 2 vowels and 3 consonants. Shuffle them around a little. No, just move it this way, so you can move it around any way you want to. And you can change. You are spelling out the word capes. Now, are you satisfied with that? That's the word you want. All right, if you'll come over here now, Mrs. Klosterman, right where I was standing, I will demonstrate exactly what you have got. C-A-P-E-S is the word capes. Now, if the 1 is in back of the letter S, you will have only gotten $1 because the rest would all be zeros. Zero. You might have $10. Well, you got to make either $10,000, $1,000, or $100. Let's cut the suspense short, shall we?
Sure.
If there's a 1 back of this C, you are walking away with $10,000 cash. No $10,000. You've got $1,000 or $100. Mrs. Klosterman, come up here. I'm going to see what kind of a gal you are right now. This is entirely up to you. I have here a $500 bill with a picture of McKinley on it. Fine-looking man, wasn't he?
Wonderful. He was assassinated, wasn't it terrible?
Mrs. Klosterman, you can call off the game right now if you want to. You're such a nice gal, and just take this $500 and go singing on your way. Or you can say, go on with the game, and you get either 1,000 or 100. Might be 100, might be 1,000. But you can be safe and take the 500. It's up to you. I see some lip reading from the audience.
They're right in front of my husband.
Mr. Klosterman, stand up where your wife can see you. She wants a little assistance. What do you say? Are you going to take his judgment or your own? He said, take your own judgment. He won't give you any help.
Well, I'm going to see what's back of those letters. Because I've always wondered how it would feel to take 100 when you could have gotten 5.
You've always wondered why?
I have seen people take 100 when they could have gotten 5 by taking a choice, but I'd like to see what's back of those letters.
It's worth that much money to you, if possibly you lose it, to see.
It'll break my heart.
All right, you just go back there, and I will reveal all. Now, you could have taken it either way. It's entirely up to you. Which letter do you want to see first? Huh? People are funny about money, aren't they? Which one? The A? You want to meet the 1,000 or the 100?
Let's see the 100.
The 100 you'd like to see first. See if it's 100. If there's a 1 back of here... That's it. Want to change your mind? You just said, oh, you have a feeling it's back here, haven't you? Yeah. But you don't want to change your mind?
No.
All right. That's the 100. I'm sorry, Mrs. Klosterman, that you didn't take the 5, but you're a real good sport. Thank you very much.
Make this your day to remember a child whom crippling polio did not forget. For him, for thousands, the polio vaccine has come too late. Remember him. Remember them. Be sure to join the 1956 March of Dimes today.
Earlier in the show, I sent a Mr. and Mrs. Stevenson, who'd been married for 20 years, backstage to take a rather interesting and unusual test. A test as to whether or not married people really do get to think alike about a variety of subjects independently of each other. And they have made their choices of the various subjects, and they're ready to be tested. So bring out Mr. and Mrs. Stevenson. Here they come. Well, Mrs. Stevenson, you and Mr. Stevenson both were in separate rooms. You didn't talk to each other at all.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Now, of course, what we really wanted to find out was not how the average person votes on music and food and songs and things, but how you two agreed. And you were given 7 choices, 7 categories.
That's right. That's right.
Now I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. I have here $1,000 in $50 bills. For each time that you agree on each of your categories, you get a $50 bill. That's real money.
That's real. I gotta feel it too.
If it feels a little rough, it's because General Grant hasn't shaved for a long time. If you have 5 out of 7 categories, 5 out of 7 categories that agree, you will get all $1,000 at once. Now we're going to find out, Mr. and Mrs. Stevenson, whether or not these 20 years have been in vain. Let me get my card out. The first category was on the subject of foods. And we gave you 3 choices. French, Mexican, or Chinese. Would you each flip your top card over? Let it down. Chinese. Chinese. $1,000. Now, Now, this is independent. They were in separate rooms when they marked these cards. They had no idea what the other one thought or what they were doing or tried to be similar. You weren't trying to be similar.
Oh, no,
you didn't know anything about that. Now, the next thing is home architecture. Do you prefer modern, colonial, or Spanish? Would you flip your card first, Mrs. Stevenson? Colonial? Mr. Stevenson? Colonial. They even agree on the money. The next thing was a song, and we gave them Old Man River. Would they prefer to hear your Old Man River, Begin the Begin, or Summertime? Mr. Stevenson, will you flip your card? Begin the Begin? Begin the Begin.
Wonderful.
Isn't this just like...
It's simple.
Isn't that lovely? Now, our next item is a favorite gem. If you were to pick out a precious stone, would you take a diamond, emerald, or a sapphire? Would you start, Mrs. Stevenson, and see what you wrote? She likes an emerald. Mr. Stevenson, apparently you didn't. Diamond. Well, so far you have 3 for 4, and you need 5 for 7 in order to win the $1,000. Now let's take motion pictures. Would you go to Gone with the Wind, Red Shoes, or The Best Years of Our Lives? You start out, Mr. Stevenson. Turn it over. Gone with the Wind, Red Shoes. You have 2 more times, and so far it's 3 for 5, and you need 5 for 7. You need both the next. The next thing is the foreign country you'd most like to visit. We gave you 3 choices. France, and Gay Paris, Mexico City, or Italy. Rome. Mrs. Stevenson, both of you flip at one time, so neither one of you knows what the other one wrote. France. You each have $100, so even if you miss on the next one, you haven't done badly for 6 minutes' work. This one determines whether or not you get the $1,000, and I don't know myself what they wrote or what the vote is going to be. But old General Grant's waiting for you. Now, this one is another popular category about which married couples occasionally have to agree upon. The favorite sport to go to if you have an evening to go out on a sporting event. Baseball, wrestling, boxing. Now, when I give the word, you each turn over without looking. All right, turn it over. Baseball and boxing. How do you like that?
That boxing... That's to go. He always loves his boxing. And I thought, well, this is something I wouldn't enjoy with him. But baseball is something we both enjoy.
But he put down boxing. He'd rather go alone than to go to a baseball game with you. That cost them $900, $800, but you still have $100 each. And you have proved that even though you have been married a long time, you still have a mind of your own. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Stevenson. That's all for tonight. Next week, Dan Jenkins, West Coast editor of TV Guide, will try to invent a People Are Funny stunt so tough that I can't get anybody to volunteer for it out of the studio audience. Maybe he can, and maybe he can't. We'll see next week. Good night, everybody.
This program was transcribed from Hollywood.